This is a presentation about comparing dual phone type respondents from cell sample and landline sample in the phone survey, the Oregon's 2011 Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, BRFIS. And the first thing I wanted to do was just make sure people know what I mean when I'm talking about dual phone type. So my first question is, how many of you here have a cell phone? Okay. And those of you who also have a landline, keep your hands up. So those of us with our hands up are the dual phone type respondents. I have no relationships to disclose. So the goals here of this presentation are to explain the Oregon's dual frame sampling for the BRFS. It's a telephone survey. We have a landline frame and a cell frame. Describe the differences between the dual phone type respondents from those two samples. And discuss the pros and cons of including dual type respondents from both sampling frames in your surveys. So I wanted to start by talking about CDC's protocol with the BRFS. And basically recently, CDC and many people who are doing phone surveys have decided it's really important to do dual frame sampling. So they sample because they sample from landline telephone numbers and from cell numbers. And their cell sample interviews respondents who only have a cell phone, not a landline. And there are a number of reasons why CDC has taken this approach. They limit the use of that cell sample. There's obviously people they could talk to, right, who they reach, who have a landline as well. But when they reach the people, when they call them up on their cell phone and they say, do you also have a landline? They say, okay, thanks, sorry, you're not eligible for this study. So they limit the use of the cell sample because one issue is the cost differential. At least in recent times, it seems like in many states, the cost of the cell complete is about three times the cost of a landline complete. There's also things that you have to deal about the frame overlap and waiting issues that would be related to the fact that you could have reached this group of people from two different directions. And then there's issues that are just simply related to cell phones. Things like, what if the connection's really crappy and they can't hear what you're saying? Or what if they're doing something else at the time, like driving? If you're a public health agency, you don't really want to talk to people while they're driving and cause an accident. And lots of fun. And another issue is, what if they don't want to talk because they have limited minutes on their plan? They just don't want to talk to you on their cell phone. So there were a number of things that went, and this was something that the whole phone survey industry was dealing with. But everybody knew that including the cell sample is really important. And so this is just an example. In 2010, cell only by state. So these are adults who live in households that only have a cell phone. And this comes from Bloomberg and Luke, who were, this is the National Health Interview Survey Statistics. And you can see that Oregon is one of the higher, there's some variation by state, but Oregon has 31% or so only. And here's the rest of our stats here in Oregon. 2% of adults don't have a phone at all, so theoretically we can't reach them at all by a phone survey. 12% landline only, 31% cell only, and then you have a little over half who have both. And when you look at that group who have both, NHIS, our population estimate source, has questions about how most calls are received. So the people who said, well, I receive all or mostly all of my calls on cell are 27% of that 56%. The equal is 32 and 41, say, landline all or mostly. So this is just an image here. Who is it we're trying to reach? We're trying to reach the population of Oregon adults. We have two frames that we use to do that. And that covers about 98%. of the people that we want to reach. Then we draw samples, right? We have a landline sample, and here's our CDC cell sample, where they screen for only those people who have a cell phone and not the people in the middle who have both. And in Oregon, we decided that we really wanted to get both, so we did. Because we were really concerned about what about these people? If it turns out those people are different, and the differences translate into something about health behaviors, we wanted to know it. So we interviewed the cell-only and the dual phone type people. Because we wanted to know, what if they are different from the dual phone type respondents we reached by the landline? And we have had concerns that the potential bias might not be addressed by the weighting factors, even though CDC has changed its methods for weighting so that it can include a lot of socioeconomic factors. But the other big factor was our cost differential was 1.2 to 1. So our cell completes cost about 1.2 per landline complete. So I want to back up the there's groups who are always underrepresented in landline phone surveys. And so these are the population estimates for those groups, males, anybody who's not a white non-Hispanic, younger adults, people who rent their homes, people with less than a college education and the never married. And here you can see our landline sample, as expected, underrepresents that a bit. When we look at our dual phone type respondents, now remember this landline dual is a subset of the people I just showed you out of the landline sample, which includes landline only. So this is landline dual compared to cell dual, people who have both types of phones. The people we reached by landline, the landline dual, there's our numbers for them. And when you look at the cell dual, you do see that we do a better job of reaching some of these groups who are underrepresented, with the notable exception here of the education. And I used weighted data here. I did run it unweighted because I was sort of interested in that, but the patterns stay roughly the same. I looked at a couple of other factors because I felt that they would be useful as well, even though they are not things that are addressed in weighting. So these are the people who live in the Portland metro area, and they're really the differences were not particularly big there. The people we reached, dual phone type people we reached by cell, were more likely to have kids in this comparison of weighted data, right? And they were, not unexpectedly, more likely to receive 90% or more of their calls on the cell phone. So when we ran a regression model on these pieces, when all factors were taken into account, the dual phone type respondents who were reached by cell remained different. So our logistic models included age, sex, race, education, marital status, and home ownership status. Compared to the landline duals, cell duals are more likely to be male, younger, and rent their homes. And contrary to what we saw, they are also more likely to have a higher education level once you adjust for all the factors. The differences that we saw in marital status and in number of children did not remain when you run it adjusted. So we also looked at health indicators. We had, unfortunately, a smaller subset of health indicators than I would have liked to see, and that was, again, another cost factor. It was a question of who was going to pay for having these extra surveys. But we did look at these ones. Health status, fair or poor, there really wasn't a difference. Obesity, really not a difference. But we did see a difference in the proportion of those who said they didn't have health insurance. And it was, as you can see, it's slightly higher for the cell dual group. Now, since one could expect that to be highly related to things like age, we ran a regression model for that group, which I guess didn't write down here. Anyway, once we ran the regression, that difference remained. The p-value was a little borderline. It was 0.07, but the difference, a modest difference remained, and the odds ratio was 1.4. So, in summary, the demographic characteristics were different for dual phone type respondents who we reached by cell versus those we reached by landline. And the bivariate estimates of health status and obesity were similar between groups, but lack of health insurance was higher among our cell-reached dual phone type respondents. And that association remained. It had been 1.7 odds ratio in the logistic model, 1.4. So although there were few differences that were found in those three health outcomes by contact method, reached by landline, reached by cell, the important next step is to conduct analyses with other health outcomes, and we will have those data out of the 2012 Oregon data. I also think that regardless of whether you're seeing a difference in the health outcomes yet, including the cell-reached dual phone type respondents, will help to increase the raw numbers of people we have in subpopulations. And if we're interested in those subpopulations and interested in making sure we have the representation we'd like to see, it seems to me that it's a good idea to include them, even if we don't know that it's making a difference yet. This is a field that's changing. You know, there are changes each year in how many people have switched to wireless completely, and there are changes going on among the dual-to-phone type respondents. So I think we should consider keeping the cell-reach dual-phone type group in the pool of eligible respondents, because we know that cell-reach dual-phone type respondents are less easily reached by landline, as we saw from the proportion of people who said that they had that they were 90% getting most of their calls by cell. Thank you. These are my co-authors, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
Can we do our about 2 to 3 minutes before we have our next speaker? Do you have a question?
Are you confident now that you're collecting stable estimates of the different dual cell, dual landline, and so forth, that you can, at a stable level, you can come up with representative estimates, biased estimates for a stable level?
Are you talking about the population estimates?
Yeah.
So, that was one of the other barriers, really, in some ways. That information comes out of the National Health Information Survey, and they do some modeling. And so there's been a couple of articles that come out from Bloomberg and Luke do these annual state estimates. And Oregon seems to have enough numbers. There are a few states that it looks dicey. Yeah, so we have state-level estimates on cell mostly and all these sorts of things. The difficulty that I see is that the CDC question, this is this noise issue that you talked about. The CDC question actually asks people what percent of calls are received. And the NHIS question asks all or mostly all, and like that. And I'm seeing definite differences in the two. We decided to add the question in 2012 because I thought, well, they may not be measuring the same thing. And, definite differences by age group. So that'll be the next thing to look at.
How do you deal with the waiting issue and the classification
issue in the survey? We read what the California Health Interview Survey people did. And we were able to, account for it a little bit. The thing is, in the survey, there is already the potential for some overlap. Because you draw your sample each quarter, and so there are some aspects that deal with that already. So it was less of a, it's an issue, but we were able to find the pieces of information we needed to be able to adjust for that. I think it would be much better, though, if we started adjusting within that dual group, which we have not done yet because we didn't have the population estimates we needed, but now we will.
Well, that's done, speaker.